You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier, Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Good afternoon. This is Richard McCall for Columbia Calling on the Overseas Seas Radio Network. I'm happy to be radioing in here from Bogota, Colombia. I have two esteemed guests this afternoon with me, two Colombia residents. I'm one half Colombian, half Panamanian, one Colombian, but of American upbringing. Before we introduce them properly, we'll talk a little bit about the news going on in Colombia at the moment. President Juan Manuel Santos is currently in the United Kingdom meeting with David Cameron, discussing all sorts of things and promoting Colombian businesses in the UK and trying to attract further investment into Colombia. After the United Kingdom, he will be going on a tour of various European countries and then going to the Far East, no doubt sealing further investment opportunities out there. If you want to read an interesting editorial on Juan Manuel Santos's trip to the United Kingdom, he did write an editorial in the Guardian newspaper the other day all about a different way to address the war on drugs, because obviously here in Colombia this is a major issue, and it's something very positive that they're looking at a different and more resourceful manners of dealing with this problem, which is a global problem, not just a Colombian problem. Anyway, so I'm here in Bogota, and I have to my right Diana Holguín of Bogota Eats and Drinks and various other things, as well as Juan Manuel Robledo. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome here. I'll start first with Diana, who was raised in the United States to Colombian parents. You look Colombian, but you sound American. when did you decide to move back to Colombia?
Well, this last time I came back in 2007. When I was younger, I lived here for like a total of 7 years on and off. We moved back and forth a bit. So I thought of coming back and seeing what life would be like now.
Certainly different to Miami, although there's a big Colombian community in Miami. But did you come back because you saw opportunity, or it was to get in touch with your roots?
It was partly to get in touch with my roots. My family, my parents had moved back already, so it was to be near to them. Just to see what life would be like here. After having lived here when the situation was a little sketchy in the 90s, it was interesting when I'd come back to visit and I'd see how things had changed and improved. And, you know, we had a couple of really good mayors that did some amazing things and transformed the city. It just seems much more attractive.
It's interesting you should talk about the mayors. I imagine you're talking about Antanas Morkus, or as they say in Lithuania, Morskus. I have a Lithuanian friend. Morskus, anyway, he did transform the city, and alongside him and others, they started promoting Bogota as a bike capital, which actually feathers me in quite nicely to Juan Manuel here, who has his own biking company here in Bogota. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Hi, Richard. Yes, my company is Laika. It all started from the passion and love and the feeling of freedom I get every time I get on a bike. Usually when I travel abroad, I like to rent a bike or go on a bike tour of the city to get to know it. So I combined my love for bikes and that idea of, and that also that passion of showing my city to foreigners, too. And that's how Laika was born.
And do you find this Bogota an easy city to bicycle in, or is it? Because there's so much in the international press about this being one of the cities with the most amount of bike lanes in the world. But frankly, it terrifies me to get on my bike.
There's a little bit of both. Bogota is ranked at the top of various lists. We have over 300 kilometers of designated bike paths, which are pretty much safe. But I do agree that riding on the street alongside cars sharing the road is pretty hard and scary for a beginner. I do it almost every day, but I'm used to it and yes, I can handle the
stress. But you're well practiced in this. Now, tell us a little bit about your tours.
Well, my tours are, of course, focused on foreigners. I like to take them to different sectors of the city that are attractive to tourists. Mm-hmm. There's Usaquén, that's in the north part of Bogotá. Then there's Chapinero and a little bit to the east. There's to the sector called Parque Simón Bolívar, which it was designed by my father, so I take a little pride in that.
That's something very personal.
Yes.
That's a nice. I did not know that.
Yes.
And when they're doing these tours, do you enlist the help of Diana for, I don't know, places to stop, to get something to eat?
We're actually starting to work on a bike food tour.
Perfect.
Yes.
Well, it makes perfect sense, obviously, because Diana is the expert on food in Colombia and food in Bogota. She does have a website called Bogota Eats and Drinks, which hopefully she'll tell us a little bit about now.
I would love to. Bogota Eats and Drinks began as a hobby in 2008, so I'd only been here a few months when I decided to start writing, just about my experiences here, what I was eating and discovering after so many years living outside of Colombia. As from a hobby, it's just started to grow and grow, and people started emailing me telling me they were coming to Colombia, to Bogota, and that they needed recommendations on where to eat. It just kind of took on a life of its own, and now I'm doing the food tours, that were kind of born out of the blog too. It's been quite an experience.
Well, this sounds fantastic. What I do know that people, you're getting people signing up for these food tours.
Mm-hmm.
You do take them around certain sections of the city, and also Juan Manuel takes these foreign tourists around certain sections of the city that perhaps these our tourists wouldn't visit, and so many people are confined to the Candelaria, let's say, because
mm-hmm.
it is the sort of central point of all tourism within Bogota. But you guys are, let's say you're taking a second wave of tourism into Bogota. You're showing different restaurants, you're showing different routes, and offering, just more options. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to encourage people to take the food tour towards the beginning of their trip. Because aside from just trying the food and everything, people often ask me questions about the country and just, questions or doubts that they have. So it's kind of a good introduction and a comfortable setup where, we're going to a few restaurants and we sit and talk and eat. And, I think it makes people feel comfortable while they're here. And I try to dispel some of the, these things that people believe about Colombia, how it's so dangerous and everything.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a continual struggle,
yeah.
The reputation of Colombia. But with people such as you guys, getting people out on the streets, walking them around, making them see with their own eyes that, not everybody is out here to kidnap them. Not everybody is out there to try and pinch their wallet. It is a civilized city. On that note, we're just going to take a little break. This is Colombia Calling, and I'm here with Diana Holguín and Juan Manuel Robledo, and we'll be back in a few seconds. Thank you very much.
pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific Coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
Are you interested in investing in organic agriculture but don't want to get your hands dirty? Do you want high offshore returns with an environment of low taxes and strong property rights? If so, you should consider Chile's most exciting and diverse new development, FreedomOrchard.com, and its expert team of organic farmers in the Freedom Orchard Organics Division. Don't just sit on a pile of gold. Inflation-resistant farm investments are available now at Freedom Orchard. Enjoy a short payback period from year-round frost-free planting on our highly productive farmland in central Chile. Visit FreedomOrchard.com for details. Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya. La canoa de bareque para llegar a la playa.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling with your host, Richard McCall, calling in from, radioing in from Bogota, Colombia. I'm here with Diana Holguín of Bogota Eats and Drinks and Juan Manuel Robledo of Leica Bikes Tours here in Bogota. And we've been speaking about, well, food tours, bike tours, what life is like in Colombia and so on. And we're going to continue in that vein. I wanted to go back to Diana's website, which is, as I said, Bogota Eats and Drinks. And you would think that she would specialize only in Colombian food, much maligned by in many quarters, in particular by a lot of travelers who come to Colombia. But in truth, she writes about everything, and you know, how to make the best ají picante, which is spicy chili sauce, or where to eat the best ajiaco, which is the traditional hearty high altitude soup of Bogota, or even where to get the best barbecue cuts here in Bogota. I saw on your blog the most recent entry, Diana, was about a restaurant called La Fama, a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah. it's actually one of the most interesting additions to the Bogota food scene, kind of internationalizing what we have to eat around here. And it's interesting because the owners went to the States and they looked for a few barbecue experts, and they brought them over here to help them develop this very original sort of restaurant for Bogota's standards anyway. And in the process, they discovered barbecuing the hump of the cow, the cebu cow that we find here. It's the most common cow, which is really interesting. I don't know if... have you been, Richard? Did you try it?
I did go. I recall eating ribs and eating far too much. It was a fantastic place. But what was interesting is from what I read, is that they found these guys in Brooklyn. But, I mean, you know, Colombians, they like their barbecue. Is this not like treading on Colombian turf, bringing some people down from Brooklyn?
well, it's pretty different, I think. It's a different kind of barbecue, a different style, different food culture completely. So in La Fama, what they do is they smoke all the meats. They have these special smokers, and that's basically how they do things. And here in Colombia, as far as I know, what I've researched, barbecues that don't necessarily smoke the meat. So it's a little bit different. I've read a few reviews on different websites, and from local people, the reviews are very mixed on La Fama. But I think it's partly because of that, because people aren't accustomed to that smoky flavor and to that style of preparing the meat.
I personally loved it.
Me too.
Juan Manuel, you're probably best placed to tell us what a typical Colombian barbecue will entail.
Typical Colombian barbecues normally entail soft meat, like tenderloin, and just on a grill. That would be basically it. And sprayed with beer to make it fun, drinking aguardiente.
Aguardiente is essentially the local fire water. It's a liquor that does bring on some of the worst hangovers available in the country. But when Juan Manuel talks about spraying the beer, it's not only on the barbecue, it's usually on one another, because a Colombian barbecue is quite raucous and usually involves many family members and a loss of complete dignity. So anyway, we'll move on from the barbecues. But as I said earlier, Colombian food by travelers can often be much maligned, and they don't appreciate. But what I see when I read their blogs and whatever is that they're normally eating the corrientazo, which is essentially what we would call here or in the States the blue plate special. Mm-hmm. So for $3.50, they're eating a meal, and of course that comes with like an oat soup, and then some mystery cut of meat, and then. However many starches that you can fit in your stomach. So you'll have potato, rice, plantain, yuca, one thing. I mean, this is a workman's meal. It's meant to fill you up. It's not an incredibly representative meal of the delicacies available here in Colombia. What would you guys, first, Diana, what would you recommend to the traveler to try?
Let's say the most typical things that are easiest to find here in Bogota, at least, would be like the ajiaco. That's the typical soup from this area, which has three different kinds of potatoes, an herb called huasca that gives it a very particular flavor, and chicken, corn, and I think it's delicious. I don't know if I'm biased, but I think it's really good, and it's an interesting, as far as like culinary history goes, it's an interesting combination of indigenous cuisine, melding with the Spanish cultures when they arrived to South America. So you have the potatoes and the huasca and everything that's very typical from here, and then the Spanish introduced capers and cream and chicken, and now, with the ajiaco that we know today is that. I would also recommend fritanga, which is great. It's like a heart attack on a plate. You have blood sausage and chorizo and plantains and fried little potatoes called papa criolla. It's good with a beer, an ice cold beer. Good to go.
An ice cold beer goes with everything in Colombia. Well, I drove through the town of Vélez in Santander not too long ago, and it seemed to be the capital of the fritanga. Every street corner with this gnarled pieces of intestine that were being barbecued up. It smelled great, but it looked horrific. I mean, I don't know. I've been here 7 years, but awful is not my thing.
There's one thing that I've always been told that's delicious. That's chunchullo, which I think is the small intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone always says it's delicious, but it has to be cooked perfectly. And it's crispy and it's delicious. And I don't know, I've just had really bad luck, but it's never been crispy and it's always really chewy. And I think I'm just not a fan of small intestine.
Well, I've only had that once in Argentina, in fact. And it had cooled down and a bit of liquid had congealed within this part of the small intestine, and frankly it was lucky that I didn't vomit, but I managed to hold it down and not insult my hosts. Juan Manuel, do you have any preferred dishes here in your homeland?
Well, if I was to recommend something to eat to a foreigner, or if I were to take somebody, I would like them to try two things. One is lechona.
Lechona, okay.
That is a pig. You see the body of the pig, the head and the body, but it's filled with rice, some sort of beans, and the pig's meat, which is delicious. It's very soft. And chigüiro. Chigüiro. I'm not sure what the name is in English. It's a rodent.
I think it's a capybara.
It's
capybara?
Yeah, a capybara.
It's the largest rodent in the world.
And then that meal is not very typical of Bogota. It's actually of the Llanos Orientales. But you can find it here, and it's quite something.
Yeah, it's really good.
So the capybaras, you're recommending we eat rodent. But that's okay. I've eaten the capybara. It's a nice meat, and it is from the Lower Sabanas, which are, you know, 3 hours south of Bogota, and well worth the visit, and of course, very culturally rich. Now, that's that. And from any other regions of Colombia, I know in the Pacific coast, the piangua shell, which the people harvest from the roots of the mangrove swamps. Is there anything else that you could recommend that's strange and wonderful?
Strange and wonderful.
Well, we'll think about that for a bit. We'll come back to that one. There must be more. I mean, you know, but the lechona I do like. I mean, I think for the casual visitor to Colombia to see perhaps, you know, the whole pig on the platter and you know, the head sticking out and sort of this shredded body lying behind it full of rice and vegetables and beans. It is really good, but maybe you need to sort of Photoshop in your mind the head out and perhaps leave behind some of these, I would say Western, but I'm saying, you know, sort of North American or European standards that we have on seeing the food on the plate. You know, it's food is food after all. Colombia has a great deal to offer, and obviously on the Caribbean coast, it's very well recognized.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the weird and wonderful things. I just remembered. I went to, it was like a gastronomy festival or something, but it had a lot of the most important culinary historians in the country. And one man, Julian Estrada, I think is his name, he has a restaurant in Medellin. He was talking about the variety of arepas that we have in Colombia, or that we once had. And the number is up in 700 different varieties throughout the country. And one of the most interesting that he mentioned is up in La Guajira, the northernmost area of Colombia, which is also spectacular. I haven't been since I was a little girl, but my memories are just like amazing. And up there they have an arepa, arepa huevo, like on the coast with the egg inside, but it also has shark meat inside of it.
Shark meat?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he said it was delicious and it's wonderful, but because I guess, you know, people here often think that their local food isn't good enough, so they'll make like a pasta bolognese instead. They think it's more elegant, or I don't know. So it's kind of disappearing because people are just not making anymore, and they just want to do something that's more, I guess, appealing internationally without realizing that I guess tourists and people nowadays really want to see what's interesting and different and exciting and things that they're not going to find anywhere else in the world. But I have yet to try the shark arepa. I'll be looking for it next time I go to La Guajira.
One quick question, but before we close this segment, best city for food in Colombia? Quickly, one word.
Bogota.
Bogota. Okay, this is Colombia Calling. You're listening to your host Richard McCall. We'll be back in a minute. And we're back. This is Colombia Calling with your host, Richard McCall, radioing in from Bogota, Colombia, with special guests Diana Holguín and Juan Manuel Robledo. We've been talking about food, we've been talking about cycling, we've been talking about Bogota, Medellin, the Caribbean coast, La Guajira, the northernmost part of South America, a wonderful desert area that is much needed, and it must be visited. It is growing in its attraction, but it still requires a little bit more infrastructure, but perhaps that is the attraction of the place. Anyway, so we're going to go back a little bit and talk to Diana about her food tours, because I'm always amazed by people who do give tours. Because first of all, well, I used to work as an expedition guide, which means that you have to tolerate people. Generally speaking, most people are good. Most people who come to Colombia are a bit more adventurous, a bit more prepared for unusual behavior, unusual customs, and to take things on board. Not like the child's parent who called me once in the jungle and said if I didn't get the mosquitoes out of their daughter's room, they were going to sue me. But that's another story. Diana, on your tours, do you have any strange people?
I've had a few. First, I'll say that, you know, I'm a very reserved, shy kind of person. So really, before every tour, I think to myself, God, I hope they call and cancel. And I, you know, I have this feeling just, you know. But fortunately, every time I've met some really interesting people, and everybody has been so nice. I have yet to have the kind of tourist tour goer that I can't tolerate. So that's good. But I have had a few interesting experiences. One was a woman who showed up to the food tour and asked me if we were going to eat because she had just come from having a really big lunch. So I thought, well, you know, yeah, this is a food tour. There is eating involved. And then she chose not to go on the tour because she wasn't going to eat anything. It would have been a waste of her money.
So you got your wish. She canceled.
Yeah, she canceled, and I got. I think that was the time I had a couple from Connecticut. I think it was an older couple.
Mm-hmm.
So no. And what you said is true. I think the kind of people that come to Colombia right now, or maybe the kind of people that would take a food tour, are certain kinds of tourists that are, you know, they kind of know what to expect, and they're very open to things, you know, different kinds of things and everything. So everyone's been really, really great.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, I struggle to imagine someone asking if they're going to eat on a food tour, and especially as you take in something like 6 restaurants on your food tour,
Between 5 and 6.
Five and six, depending on how big the stomach lining is on your perspective.
Sometimes we can squeeze in one more thing.
You know, this is quite shocking, but, you know, you wouldn't advise, for example, the people who've been on your tour to go on Juan Manuel's tour the following day, because they're going to feel pretty heavy.
Yeah,
if Juan Manuel, you're offering tours that are, you know, incredibly difficult, the ones that you're taking outside of Bogota.
Yes, well, I am just starting with this idea. Bogota, well, Colombia is known for its mountains, for its mountain ranges. We have very high peaks. And I just recently started doing some ascents. The one I did last Saturday is 40 kilometer. I'm not sure how much of that is in miles, but it's 40 kilometers of going uphill. And this is training for the longest ascent, cycling ascent included in a bicycling competition. It's called Alto de Letras, and it's 83 kilometers of just pain and suffering and reaching at the top and raising your arms. And
you're not selling it to me. I mean, to tell me I'm going to have to make a climb on a bike for 83 kilometers, I mean, you... In the Andes Mountains. I mean, we're not talking about hills in the UK or you know, rolling areas of California. We're looking at the Andes Mountains here. But in that one where it's 83 kilometers, I assume you're starting from way down low.
Yes, I'm not exactly sure of the altitude, but it's a town called Mariquita in Tolima. It's warm weather. And we start at a temperature of 33, 34 degrees Celsius. And we end up at a temperature of 1 degree Celsius. So the change in temperature and the landscape is dramatic. So it's the whole beauty of the thing. And the people who love cycling love this.
They'll appreciate that.
You're aiming at a niche market there. I mean, people are not going to happen across you by chance. It's that they're looking for you. I mean, if we were to put those temperatures into Fahrenheit, we'd be 90-something degrees. you know, from the start, and then below zero at the top, which is, I mean, it's a big change. And of course the altitude, I mean, when you do this, do you find people suffer with the thinness of oxygen?
Of course. That's a given, because the change, I mean, the overall ascent, not in how long you pedal, but how up you go, it's 3,000 meters. So that is quite a change.
Yeah, I mean, given here at Bogota, we're 2,600 meters. I mean, 3,000 meters. I mean, we're looking at the height of La Paz in Bolivia. That's pretty testing on the lungs, even for the most practiced person. So anyway, I mean, here we are. We've got a couple of ideas. If you're here in Colombia or if you're coming to Colombia, we have a couple of ideas of what you can do at the weekend. For those who are more energetic and more sort of outdoorsy, perhaps they could look up Juan Manuel's website and his Facebook page.
Yes, it's facebook.com/LikeUpBikes.
LikeUpBikes, spelled L-I-K-A.
A-S.
So you look up that and get in touch with him, and that's fine. The other one is Bogota Eats and Drinks.
Yep. BogotaEatsAndDrinks.com. I'm also on Twitter @BogotaEats, and I have a Facebook page as well, which usually has more activity and articles and any kind of press that Colombia gets, whether it's food related or not. It's Bogota Eats and Drinks on Facebook. I'm all over the web, Instagram, Pinterest, and
you're connected to the social media. Now, we must mention that Diana is a voracious blogger and is one of the official Colombia travel bloggers, which is it was something set up by the Colombia Tourist Board a couple of years ago, and she's been shipped around the country to write about various things, colonial towns in Santander, I believe.
Yeah.
And obviously she focuses on the food. So there's not a bad side gig there. So plenty of ideas for holidays in Colombia, plenty of ideas for weekend retreats. And why am I talking so much about this? Colombia is the country with the most amount of long weekends in the world. When I say long weekends, that means, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday is usually a holiday. I would say more often than not, it's a holiday. And there are 19 long weekends in Colombia. So, you know, time your trip around one of these, because you'll get roped up with a Colombian family, be taken out to their finca, enjoy a barbecue, get sprayed by beer, eat some fritanga, go on a bike ride, have some excellent experiences. But with 19 puentes, as they're called here, Diana, what do you like to do for your three-day weekend? Do you get out of Bogota?
I usually don't, unfortunately. but when I do have an opportunity to get out of town, I definitely take it. For example, this weekend, I'm actually going on a silent retreat.
I don't know what a silent retreat is. I'm talking on the radio. You can't show us this. You're going to have to tell us about this.
Okay, it's silence. It's just you and your mind for, in this case, 3 days. There's meditation and yoga, but aside from that, you can't make eye contact with the other people there. We eat very healthy, like vegetarian food, and go to bed early, get up at the crack of dawn, and yeah, I've done it once before, and it's really lovely. I mean, it's tough. I've heard of different retreats here in Colombia that's like 10-day silent retreat, and that is really intense. I haven't actually done that yet. But 3 days is pretty good. 3 days is doable, and you get to relax and really, like, I don't know, just... It's a nice contrast to living in a city like Bogota that's always going and loud, and there's always stuff happening.
There's always stuff happening. And whereabouts is this taking place, this retreat?
It's happening. A friend is running it at a finca that's located between La Vega and Villeta, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours outside of Bogota. So it's at a lower altitude, so it's a little bit warmer, which will be lovely as well. We all like to feel a little warmth. every now and then. And yeah, it's a really nice place at that altitude. I guess it's a good altitude for growing orchids. And, the owner of the finca is a huge orchid fan and he has the most amazing orchid farm. So in these part of the silent retreat is you do, walking meditations. So you just walk very slowly and obviously going through the orchid garden is, it's just amazing. It's really beautiful. I don't know how many varieties he has, but it's,
well, you know, Colombia is known for its vast variety of orchids. So when this is an option, have you heard of other ones? You've heard of the 10-day retreat,
mm-hmm.
and you're going on this 3-day retreat. Is this something new to Colombia, these sort of yoga destinations, or has it always been sort of, let's say, holistically minded?
I think it's relatively new. At least when I got here in 2007, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't connected or I just didn't hear about it that much. But now, there's yoga retreats to Los Llanos, to Santa Marta and El Parque Tayrona. There's, and many long weekends. I've read about, different organizations, different yoga studios that plan these trips around. Some are silent, some are not. Some are just yoga, different styles of yoga. So I think it's something that's really catching on. And similarly, like in food related, there's a lot of vegetarian restaurants that are opening up. Most restaurants I find have a vegetarian option.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's like a lot of new burger joints opening up, like little independent burger places.
Yes, I have noticed that. I don't look at the vegetarian section of the menu, I'm afraid. But
well, most of them have a vegetarian option, which I think is really cool.
It's not easy to be a vegetarian here, though. Or would you say? I mean, you're despite the fact that you went and fully admitted to me off air that you pigged out in La Fama, which, the rib house that we talked about earlier, you've said that that you're considering going vegetarian.
I am. I've been I guess I started in January. I guess you can say it was sort of a New Year's resolution. I've been more plant-based, let's call it, and reading and researching a lot to see what exactly my take is going to be on this, because obviously because of the blog, I really should be eating everything if I intend to keep writing about restaurants.
But it is possible to be a vegetarian here. If you're coming to visit, to live, to travel, it is possible.
It is possible. I think there's more and more options, especially in Bogota. I know outside of the city and in smaller towns, it's a lot harder. And, despite our vast, all this access to all these vegetables and everything, it's not really part of the culture to eat fresh vegetables and salads and things like that.
Yeah, where I spend a lot of time on the coast, I mean, it's looked at funny to have a salad or some vegetables. But Juan Manuel, no chance of you becoming a vegetarian here?
No, Richard, I love my meat.
Yeah, that's very good. We're going to take another break. This is Colombia Calling with Diana Holguín and Juan Manuel Robledo. I am your host, Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. I am your host, Richard McCall. I'm happy to present my special guests today, Diana Holguín and Juan Manuel Robledo. We've been talking about everything to do with Colombia, dispelling some of the myths about this country, much maligned in the press, sometimes justifiably, other times not. We've touched on everything from food to biking to holidays to weekends. Well, just about everything. We haven't touched on politics. We're going to leave politics out of that because we had that last week. Anyway, so we're talking about biking a little bit more. And, Colombia is a phenomenally strong bicycling nation. And they have athletes winning gold medals in the Olympics. And you take a drive around the country and you can find just hundreds of people enjoying their weekends out cycling up and down this extreme topography. Well, have you biked around Colombia?
Not around Colombia. I have biked around Bogota, as I was saying earlier. But around Bogota is pretty hard too. Actually, the cycling hero we have, or we had before the most recent one, which is Rigoberto Urán, I'm talking about Lucho Herrera, he was known as the gardener of Fusagasugá. That's a town 2 hours away from Bogota. And he used to bike all those ascents every day. It was his life. Not because he loved to bike, but because it was the way he lived. And I remember an image of him in the Vuelta a España on a very hard, very steep ascent. And he was by himself, and he was going so fast on that uphill that his hair would part in the middle as if he was on a motorcycle. And it's really amazing.
And he inspired generations of cyclists in Colombia.
Yes, he has inspired for generations. Unfortunately, he hasn't inspired sponsors as much. That's why we don't have more stimulation for people to go outside and be professional bikers.
There's a plenty of them, and with Urán, and of course the BMX champion here, the gold medalist,
Mariana
Pajone from Medellín. She's very famous, very popular, and what have you. But I have my little hotel in Mompós, and we seem to be on the route now of many cyclists coming down from Alaska to Ushuaia. It takes them usually 2 years. These guys arrive burnt, dusty, without a gram of fat on their bodies. But, you know, these are proper athletes. I mean, this is not idle cycling. But the best story I have about that was when a French couple turned up, and they obviously had, a fight midway between, some town and Mompós. And we had no space to put them up, so obviously they were pretty annoyed at that. When they said, well, we've been cycling around Latin America and we've come down from Alaska. And I said, oh, great. Yes. Well, last week we had a couple like you. And the wife turned to her husband and said, you see, I told you everybody's doing it. Now, it's not something that everybody is doing. I mean, it's still pretty special. And there are blogs all about it and whatever. But you know, you do get to see the countryside. And what's most interesting is the attitude that these cyclists have when they're going around the country. Because, you know, they're very solitary. You know, of course, they might team up with other cyclists that they've met on, through blogs and what have you. And they go through back roads and go through small towns where, of course, they're treated as if they're visiting deities. When they get to a major tourist destination, these cyclists are perhaps not so well received. But enough about the cyclists. I mean, are there any places in Colombia that either of you really want to visit that you haven't yet? I mean, these cyclists, they get everywhere, but those of us who are stuck in the city, we have to pick and choose our destinations.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't really traveled as much as I would like to. Mompós is one place I'd like to go someday. I've heard very nice things. I hear there's a nice place to stay there.
Well, it's a very nice place to stay, and you know you're always welcome. But as a Colombian, I'm telling you to get out there and reclaim your country. Get out there and see it. Get out there and show people that Colombia is worth visiting, that Colombians should get out and taste what is within their own borders. I mean, Juan Manuel, is there anywhere that you have yet to visit?
I have yet to visit the Pacific coast. That's the eastern coast of Colombia, known as Chocó. It's a rainforest, basically. I did go to an island it's Gorgona. It's along the Pacific coast. And the best thing about it was the whale watching.
Of course, it's very well known for its whale watching. Gorgona was a former prison island.
Indeed.
And famous for sharks.
Yes. Yes, sort of the Colombian Alcatraz.
The Colombian Alcatraz. There was no escape from Gorgona when it was a prison. The Pacific coast is one of the less visited regions of Colombia, principally because of accessibility. There's very little ground transportation or method of getting there over the ground, or methods that we recommend anyway. You have to fly in from Medellin or other cities, but once you get there, it's highly rewarding. Full-on jungles tumbling into the ocean. You get to see sort of the poison, multicolored poison tree frogs. It's not dissimilar to Costa Rica, but wilder and undeveloped completely. Of course, you can surf too, which is always a big draw. Anywhere else?
Last year I was able to go to the department of Santander, It was like such a quick trip though. It was really more like a tease because I got to just see, I mean, the town of Barichara, which I'd always heard so much about. I was there for less than 24 hours. And it was on a weekday, so it was kind of quiet and stuff. But there, I would really love to go back to that area and spend more time in Barichara and Sanjin. You know, they have the Cañón de Chicamocha, which, according to them, is the second largest canyon in the world after the Grand Canyon. I don't know. It's beautiful. I don't know if that fact is fact or not. But
I always wonder why we have to label things as being the biggest or the largest. I mean, once you get there, it's pretty phenomenal anyway, isn't
it's
it?
Gorgeous. It's just... and breathtaking. Everywhere you look, it's just really beautiful views. The people were amazing. There's a bunch of food, you know. Of course, I go back to food.
Yeah, it's your specialty, of course.
There's things that I ate there that I had never even heard about, which was really interesting. You know, it's things that you'd think would be easier to find here, or at least you'd know about. But so that was really nice. That area of the country I really enjoyed, and I really hope to go back soon.
Did you try the toasted ants?
I didn't. Not on that trip. They were out of season. So I didn't try them, but I did ask around a lot, and it's very popular. And people really love those ants.
They're really good. I actually smuggled some back to England once to try and offend some friends. It worked. But what they're known as in Spanish here is the hormiga culona, which is essentially fat-bottomed ant. And it is a speciality from the Santander region, which Diana did visit. And, well, that's unfortunate that you didn't get to try it.
I've tried them here, but I would have liked to try them there.
It's not the same if you're not in the region.
Yeah,
it's not
if they're freshly fried and, you know.
It's like wearing a cowboy hat in the city. It's not the same.
Exactly.
Is there anywhere else, Juan Manuel, that you need to go to?
The coffee growing region.
You don't know the coffee growing region?
I've been there, but on business trips, those flash trips that arrive at the capital city, go to a hotel, some meetings, back to the airport. Mm. So all I've seen is the streets from the airport to the hotel and back.
Oh, where is it?
And I need to go there.
It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful region, and the climate is just very comfortable. And, of course, Colombia is known for its coffee. Everyone should go there. Well, this has been Richard McCall. I've been Richard McCall, and this is Colombia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed this week's show. And a big thank you to Diana Holguín of Bogotá Eats and Drinks. One more time, your website?
It's BogotáEatsAndDrinks.com.
Okay, and Juan Manuel Robledo, Laika Bike Tours. One more time, your website?
It's facebook.com/LaikaBikes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richie.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Georgetown Global Metals is a division of Georgetown Trust, LTD, an international financial services company headquartered in Belize with offices in Zurich, Switzerland, and Panama City, Panama. Georgetown Global Metals is a leader in the physical acquisition and storage of metals worldwide. The company utilizes the best and most state-of-the-art facilities in Switzerland, Germany, Singapore, and Panama to store metals inside or outside the customs borders of the countries in which we maintain storage facilities. Georgetown can also acquire and store virtually any strategic, industrial, or defense-oriented metal for our clients. Most metals can also be fully insured throughout the delivery and storage process with Lloyd's of London. For a free, no obligation quote on any precious or other metals, acquisition or storage, please contact Lewis Eck at georgetown@btl.net. Mention you heard about Georgetown Global Metals on ORN and receive 1 month storage absolutely free. Again, that is georgetown@btl.net or telephone international country code Belize +501-226-3569.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network, your expatriation destination. This is Overseas Radio.